Welcome to episode number 31 of the Mastering Marriage Podcast, where our goal is to strengthen, unite, and restore your marriage. Hey everybody, my name is Amanda Taylor. And together with my husband, David, we are the co-founders of MendOurMarriage.com. And our goal is to break the back of divorce by bringing married couples together to be accountable, keep the passion alive, and destroy the hidden issues that try to rip marriages apart. And we are back in the booth today with me, Amanda Taylor, and my husband, my boo, David.
Hey guys, welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 31.
What's up, everyone?
Yes, we're back. After the Thanksgiving break, I hope you guys enjoyed it thoroughly.
We sure did.
Yeah, we definitely did. We spent a lot of time with family and friends and
yes.
Just enjoyed our time. You know,
really
it was good.
Relaxing.
It was good. So, but we're back, back on schedule, and we have a really nice show lined up for you today. But before we get into the show, I would like to let you guys know that this podcast is brought to you on behalf of MendOurMarriage.com. Where our goal is to do what, baby?
Snap, crackle, pop.
Break the back of divorce. And, and that's what we do. We're serious about it. We are completely enjoying our experience with Mendes 90 right now.
Yes.
And so, unfortunately, if you're not in it right now, you won't understand. But those who are participating, we
shout
appreciate
out
to it. You. Yeah, shout out because we're having a lot of fun.
Awesome job.
And we are going to be opening up the doors for a new cohort soon. So keep your ears peeled for that. Also, this just in, Mandy's book is almost ready. What next? Well, the thing that's next, the second to last step is to finalize the title of the book. Because Mandy actually wrote the book without a title. And kind of because we wanted to do something a little different. We would like to give you guys an opportunity to choose the title of the book.
Help us this out.
Yes. We have, what? How many titles do you have? Three?
Four.
Four. Okay, so four potential titles. And what we're going to do is I'll send them out on the email list. So everybody who's subscribed, you'll get those four. And you get to pick which one you like the best. The one that everybody picks, or the majority of the people pick, that's going to be the title of her book. We're also going to post it on social media. So people on Facebook, you will get an opportunity to pick the title.
Cast your vote.
Yes, cast your vote, and we're gonna make this happen. So, but keep your ears out for that because that's gonna be happening this week, actually. So, and then everybody who submitted their
we have not forgot picture, you.
Yeah, we ain't forgot y'all. Y'all getting it for free. So that's it's going down. It's going down. But anyway, we've got those things out the way. Now let's talk about the topic. And to top, I got hype already, man, and I'm not even going to edit that out. Today's topic is going to be on love, the study of love. And obviously, we're only going to take about 20 to 30 minutes on this, so we're going to do the edited version. But we did something similar. I know when I spoke with my reluctant spouses for Mendes 90, we kind of tore this topic apart. Mm-hmm. And so I enjoyed it so much that I wanted to kind of bring some of those things to the podcast listeners. And so we're going to do that today.
That's good.
And then Mandy, obviously, you know, you got your stuff. You're going to give us your wisdom.
Yeah, a little something.
A little something. Okay. So let's go ahead and dive in because I know y'all are just ready to get some new information about love. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you guys think you know some stuff about love, great. I still want you to listen to this because we're going to give you some new aspects of love, right?
Yes.
Truth is multi-layered. So there's not just one type of truth. Truth is layered. It's layered upon layered. So if you feel like you know one level of truth about love, stick with me because we're going to give you another level, okay? We're going to level you up. So but anyway, I just want, just so 20 to 30 minutes and then we're going to break this thing. We're going to be done. But so we're going to focus on love as it relates to the confines of a marriage, okay? So I'm not talking about just love in general between two people.
Or for hot dogs.
For hot dogs or, you know, for my dog Dusty or Ginger. I'm talking about love for your spouse, okay? So, but anyway, we did a podcast a few weeks back where we talked about the one thing that's more important than love. Hope you guys remember that episode. It was one of our most popular ones. We talked about how love can't be the foundation of the marriage. And so I want to kind of bring a little bit of what we talked about in that episode to today to start off with so that it kind of brings some context to the topic. So, but anyway, like I said before, love is not and can't be the foundation of the marriage. And it does not keep the marriage together. Contrary to popular belief, love is not the glue that keeps a marriage together. I know for some of you guys who didn't hear the episode, just go back in our archives and look it up, please, because
it's
blasphemous. And believe me, I'm not blaspheming because I believe that God is the glue. So don't, mm-hmm. If you want to be technical, love is God and God is the glue. So yes, but I'm not talking about that. We can talk about that later.
Yes.
But anyway, because if you think about it, if love was the glue, then I seriously doubt that 50% of marriages that end in divorce were from couples who never, ever loved at all. I mean, it just wouldn't make sense.
Right.
You know, or don't still love each other, even though they're going through the divorce. I've actually met couples and counseled couples who still loved each other, but they couldn't live with each other. Mm-hmm. And that's another topic for another time. But anyway. Let me expand just a bit further, okay? Now it's time to put some thinking caps on. So, I said also, a successful marriage is the result of something else. One thing. And that one thing was the application of knowledge. So, a successful marriage is the result of the application of knowledge, okay? And it's pretty much is the result of wisdom. That's what a successful marriage needs to have, mm-hmm. wisdom. And I know when Mandy and I, when we got married, we both believed that our marriage would survive and thrive off of love all by itself. Mm. And we shared that type of love that, you know, that butter love. Ain't that a song?
Yeah.
We shared that love that was, you know, we was inseparable. And I mean, when we first met, how many hours straight did we talk on the phone? I mean, we...
About
14 hours. I mean, we literally was in. And from that time, we were kind of engulfed with one another,
yes.
you know, and infatuated. And we were in love and we were confident that the love that we shared was strong enough, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. When we got, you know, married and we said our vows, I mean, them things was deep.
Powerful.
I mean, I wish, I might get in trouble. Do you know what your vows are?
I know we have it on a CD.
Somewhere. I got them saved on a computer somewhere, mm-hmm. but I don't know what the hard copy.
That's all right.
But them joints was powerful. They were very powerful, mm-hmm. you know. And unfortunately, though, those vows weren't strong enough. Even though there was not a dry eye in the space when we said them things weren't strong enough to keep us together,
mm-hmm.
you know. And our love for one another. It actually waned a little bit. It kind of started to fumble and crack and erode.
Right.
And so that wasn't even strong enough. But here's the problem. We both were naive. And I talked about this in the last podcast. Mandy and I, when we got married, we were very naive. Naive in the sense that we lacked knowledge. So I can say we were pretty ignorant when it came right. to being married. You know, and no matter how many times I had listened or read the 5 love languages, that did not equip me with what I needed to survive and thrive.
Even your counseling background?
No, not even my counseling background. Because believe it or not, counselors are humans. And we still struggle with the same stuff. Mm-hmm. We just know how to find the answers.
Right.
And deliver them in such a way that it makes sense.
I think that's the key, too, yeah. to think about. Especially if you have a spouse that's in a leadership position mm-hmm. where you assume that they should have everything
yeah.
right.
Yeah. No, just because you're in a leadership position.
Pastoring or teaching.
That does not disqualify you from having to learn.
Right.
You know, and so, and I know me, I thought I knew everything, I mean, according to my wife.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, and I mean, no disrespect to any one of us, but we were just ignorant. And I found that majority of people who get married are ignorant,
mm-hmm.
right? Just going to put it out there.
They don't become students of their spouses.
Y'all some ignorant folk. when y'all get married. And so that's just the truth, you know.
Fool in love.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what it is. You're a fool in love. And not a fool like you just stupid, but just you lack certain knowledge
right.
in certain areas, you know. And there are some very important things that you have to educate yourself on mm-hmm. if you want your marriage to succeed.
Right.
Okay? Hear me. There are some very important things that you have to educate yourself on if you want your marriage to succeed. For some reason, and this is, I still don't understand this, but for some reason, most people, including us, mm-hmm. we feel that we don't have to have a high marital IQ. Like, we feel like if someone was to come up on the street and challenge how smart you are, you'd want to say, yeah, I'm pretty smart. You know, I have a reasonable high IQ. You know, I know certain things. I know about the world. But for some reason, we think the same way about marriage. And then when we get married, we all of a sudden find out that we lack the knowledge and the marital intellect that we need to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. When you get a new job, you know, and I talked about this in the last podcast. When you get a new job, right, you know, or you get promoted, you know, or you even move to a completely new position, you have to take training. There are certain levels of training that you have to take in order to kind of be stable at the new position that you're going to be at.
Mandatory.
Right? It's mandatory. You got to take your training, mm-hmm. you know, and if you are getting your driver's license, mm-hmm. you got to take a test.
Right.
If you're getting licensed to practice medicine, to practice therapy, to practice psychiatry, to practice to be a masseuse, it doesn't really matter. To be a dentist, you have to take a test. Mm-hmm. You have to be tested, which means you have to literally spend hours upon hours studying to qualify to be in the position that you're testing for.
That is so true.
And so why in Hades... Okay, that's as good as it's going to get from me. Why in Hades do we feel like we don't have to take the same approach when we get married? You know, we go to this thing called marital counseling for 3 weeks or 9 weeks or 3 months or whatever. And we feel like we're done. Uh-huh. Yeah. We feel like we're done. Mm-hmm. But we don't really qualify ourselves for the next level because we don't really demonstrate the knowledge.
Another way of looking at it is when you think about maintenance for your car, you don't wait until your car is totally dead before you go in and get an oil change.
Some of y'all do. Y'all need to stop that. Stop that.
You know, so, you know, you're supposed to go and get an oil change
mm-hmm.
regularly.
Regularly.
Usually, like, every other month or every month, so that you make sure your car is running correctly.
Yeah.
So you don't just go when there's trouble.
Yeah.
You go to maintain it.
That's
so
deep.
Just like what David was saying, you go to counseling when there's an issue, but then when everything is fine, you stop talking to, mm-hmm. you know, the pastor or mm-hmm. whoever was counseling you until the next problem arises.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of going back and talking about what's going on in the meantime.
Yeah.
While things are still good.
Like, even in my field, in the field of psychology, I have to do what's called continuing education. It's kind of like maintenance courses. So every year, I have to accumulate a certain amount of hours of continuing education to stay at my level. If I don't, my license is at risk of being disqualified.
Right.
And so why don't we have the same concept when it comes to marriage? Why don't we take continual education courses? Mm. Right? Why don't we take, you know what, I keep talking about this. I'm going to have to start marriage university or something. I'm going to have to find something.
Because
I believe we need maintenance courses.
Yes.
You know, to kind of smooth out the rough edges and to get away from the bad habits that we've developed over the course of our marriage. And I believe that a lot of people would benefit from that. And that's mm-hmm. part of the reason why we do Men That's 90.
Right.
You know, and the coaching that we do with some of the couples. It's because there's a lot of rough edges that we need to smooth out. Mm-hmm. And this is all we're doing is doing maintenance.
And if we can get away from the whole concept of what goes on at my house stays at my house.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, as long as you use wisdom
and
make sure you're talking to people who mean you know, no harm and who are going to pour positive things
and
into
hold you. Accountable.
Hold you accountable, mm-hmm. most definitely.
Yeah.
And pray for you. Yeah. Then go ahead and trust at least one couple, you know, to be there for you.
And you know what? And we talked a lot about this. We had a whole podcast directly attributed to this topic. But I just felt the need to spend some time talking about it again before I move on to love. Mm-hmm. Because this is setting the foundation for what I'm about to say to you next. So, but for real, guys, you got to take this whole wisdom thing serious when it comes to your marriage. You have to accept wisdom as the foundation. Elsewise, you're going to be running out of steam and fuel pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And the love is going to go. The six pack is going to come, you know, it's going to drop. It's going to get some gravity to it.
Oh,
you know, the
God.
Smooth skin may get some cellulite, some spider veins, and things are going to look different, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you bald spots are going to come in places that you ain't, you know, I'm just saying. So things change. So you have to stay properly educated. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start to educate on the process and concept of love, because I guarantee that if this was the case, less and less individuals would struggle in their marriage. If people really took the education process of marriage more serious and they were more consistent with it, less and less marriages would end in divorce. I guarantee. The quickest way to save your marriage is to get knowledge and demonstrate wisdom. Quickest way. But I digress, because I'm about to move to another topic.
Well, right.
a deeper topic. So next, I want to take some time to shed some deeper light on what love truly is. It ain't the butterflies that you feel when you first saw him, okay? Tyrone gave you butterflies, and it was good, but that's not what love is. Actually, if you really want to be specific and technical, there are four types of love. Four types of love. You know, and most of you guys, any of my Greek or Hebrew scholars, you understand, especially Greek, that language. And for everybody that don't know, the New Testament of the Bible was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Okay, so it was written in two different languages. And so the New Testament, when it used certain words in Greek, the Greek language system had multiple meanings to one word. Us over here in America, we mess up that a lot, because we can say I love hot dogs, and we aren't differentiating between which type of love we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, because I can say I love hot dogs and then I love my wife in the same sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts to water down the natural meaning of love.
Right.
So there are four types of love, and I want to see if y'all can guess it real fast. Y'all got y'all guesses? I know everybody going to say agape, so we know agape. Y'all know Eros because y'all nasty. No, I'm joking. Okay, what else? Y'all got two more guesses. All right, so let me tell you the four types of love. There's storge. There's philia, like Philadelphia, philia. Then there is Eros, and then there's agape. And you've probably heard of all four, but let me tell you what each of these four mean. Now, philia and storge are often kind of confused with one another, but... Mm-hmm. I'll clear that up right now. So storge is more of the brotherly love. Most people think that's philia, but it's not. It's storge. And it's really what you get through the fondness that comes from familiarity.
Being familiar with someone.
I messed up that word. My wife did not rescue me. But anyway, it's what you get from the bond that you have with your family members. So just because you grew up with each other, that's going to give you a certain level of fondness with each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what storge is, that type of love. It's between family members or people who have otherwise found themselves together by chance. It is described as the most natural, emotive, and widely diffused of loves. It's natural in that it is present without coercion. It's emotive. It just comes as a natural byproduct of being with someone. Mm-hmm. So the bond that a mother and a child has, mm-hmm. that's storge.
Right.
And that just comes natural. That's not, it's not coerced. It's not developed. Like you don't learn. It just comes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's storge. Philia is the love between friends. Okay. So if you have a best friend, your ride or die chick, that's philia. Okay. Friendship that is a strong bond that exists between people who share common interests or activity. Okay. So that's philia. So if you guys remember the story of David, King David in the Bible, David and Jonathan, that was philia. That type of strong love. It almost looked like storge, but it was philia. And that's the second type of love, okay? And I'm saying these for a reason, okay? So storge, philia, then there's eros. And most everybody know what this one is. That's the romantic sexual love. That's what comes from the sexual attraction that you have with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So when my wife and I first met, and even though we thought it was agape, it was Eros.
Yes.
Yes. It was Eros. Cause she was trying to be all up on my body.
Ooh.
Water was just glistening all over. Okay, I'm sorry. What's that off of? You don't even know.
Remember.
My Martin friends, y'all know that.
Martin.
But anyway, so Eros is, and that's kind of self-explanatory, erotic, sexual, romantic love. Okay? And then there's the fourth one, which is agape. And that's the unconditional, divine type of love. This is the least natural type of love, because it takes something supernatural to give you an unconditional level of love. Because most of these other, or the other three, are kind of conditional. Okay? If my wife came to me and she was what I would consider someone that I'm not attracted to, I wouldn't have Eros love towards her. Okay? Because I have Eros towards that which I'm attracted to. You know what I mean? And so if, like Philea, if there was not a friendship there, then that type of love wouldn't be there. And the same with Storge. But agape is, it should be there regardless. Mm-hmm. When you say I do, agape should be there. That should be the type of love that you have. Now, we know from experience, and me just from working with hundreds of people, that it's not normally the case. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, about 90% of the time, when people say they love each other, they're not really talking about agape.
Right.
Because agape is really hard to demonstrate. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to demonstrate.
Yeah, the love is more conditional.
Yes.
Even though we don't want to admit that.
Yes, yes.
It's more about, okay, I'll give you as long as you give me.
Yes. It's tit for tat. What can I get from what you have to offer?
Right.
And it's less about giving, it's more about getting. Mm-hmm. So agape, though, is unconditional. Mm-hmm. There's no limits, there's no boundaries, there's no stipulations. It just is.
Right.
Okay? And I'm going to say a statement. I want you guys to tweet it or just do something with it. But you got to remember this statement, okay? Got to remember this statement. Y'all ready? Okay?
So got the hashtag ready?
If you're on the treadmill, you know, just slow it down for a minute, because I don't want you to trip while you're trying to take notes. Okay? That'll be funny.
I just got a vision.
But anyway, so here's my statement. Only agape love makes permanent relationships possible. Okay? Only agape love makes permanent relationships possible. If it's not agape, your relationship will lack its permanency.
That's good.
Only agape love makes permanent relationships possible. Mm. And that's why it's so hard to get. Okay? So you have to get that one. Okay. And so let me ask you guys a question, you guys that are listening. If you had to choose right now, and be honest, okay? Nobody's listening. Nobody hears you, okay? It's just you and me and Mandy. If you had to choose right now, what type of love are you currently using in your marriage? I want you to be honest. What type of love are you using? Are you using Philea, Storge, Eros, or Agape? Which one of the four? You know, and I know when I survey my group, you know, and obviously I can't tell the names, but it came down to Philea and or Eros. Mm-hmm. Those were the two. Those were the main two that they admitted, and they were honest, and I appreciate the honesty. Mm-hmm. But they admitted that they were using Eros and Philea more so than anything else. But nobody said agape. Nobody said agape.
At least they were honest about it.
Yeah, I appreciate the honesty. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to First Class of Mendez 90. But I want you guys to answer that. Like, what type of love would you be using, or do you use, or the majority of the time? I could say for Mandy and I, when we were together, it definitely wasn't agape. Mm-hmm. When we were together. Sorry, guys. Unfortunately, Mandy and I are no longer together.
Okay.
No, when we were going through our issues, and early on in our marriage, it was definitely not agape. I know for me, it was more like, Storge, Philea, the friendship type of love. Mm-hmm. You know, we cool.
I agree.
You all right?
I agree.
You know, we threw in little Eros every now and again, but it really was Philea.
Right.
You know, for us.
And so a lot of times people just get comfortable and get in routine.
Yes.
And then you start to feel like roommates, and roommates are typically friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we were for a while.
Cool with each other.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Sleeping with my roommate. That was it.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. Do my laundry. Stop playing. And I'm joking. But anyway. So, okay. So I got another question. How do you then define agape love? Like, because we're going to move to another level now. So we know about the four types of love. And I had you guys answer what type of love are you using. And we all know that in order for a marriage to thrive, right? Because remember, only agape love makes permanent relationships possible. So in order for your marriage to thrive, you have to demonstrate agape love. So how then would you define love? If you had to define love in the least amount of words, maybe one or two words, how would you define love? I'm pausing because I want you to answer that. Would you say you know, caring and sharing, what would you say? Would you say, you know,
giving
and, I mean, I had a couple answers, you know, that I got from my people. But I know the basic, the most easiest way to understand agape love is this. Okay, here's the definition. To give mm-hmm. or to share all. So to give all or to share all. That's agape love. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say this again, guys, because this is where you put the rubber to the road. Put your money where your mouth is when you say you love someone.
Love your spouse.
When you say you love your spouse, what you're really saying is I am choosing to give all and to share all. Okay?
That's it.
I'm choosing to give all and to share all. Because here's the key, right? Love is not an emotion. Okay? And I'm sorry to break it to you like that. Love is not an emotion.
It's not a secondhand emotion like Tina
said. It's not. It's love is strictly a choice. It's a response to understanding the value of a certain thing. Mm. Say that again. Love is a choice. It is a response to understanding the value of a certain thing. So if you understand the value of your spouse, then you will choose to love them unconditionally. Right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't get any plainer than that.
And you can't understand the value of your spouse if you don't take time to learn your spouse.
You see how all this is getting connected? It's getting deep and juicy? Okay, that sounded...
You just love the word juice.
I'm just saying, that's true what you just said, babe. If you don't take the time to learn your spouse, how do you know their inherent value? Mm-hmm. How do you really see the value in them? And then after that, if you don't see their value, how can you truly have unconditional love for them?
Right.
Because mm-hmm. if love is a choice and it's a response to understanding the value, you have to be able to understand the value of your spouse.
Right. You need to know the ins and outs, the strengths, the weaknesses.
Yes.
You know, you need to know their past and their present.
Yes.
Be okay with everything about them.
Yes.
So that you don't misunderstand each other.
You can't. It's imperative. Let me go some more. Love is a force generated by a decision. It has no feelings. Okay. I'm going to say it again. Love has no feelings. Now, it produces feelings. Mm-hmm. Most of you guys associate that with eros, right? Mm-hmm. It produces feelings, but love at its core is not an emotion. Mm-hmm. It is not an emotion.
Right.
It is not an emotion.
Say it one more time.
It is not an emotion. It's an attitude. It's a way of being. Love is a way of expression who you truly are. It's an attitude. It's a mindset. That's what love is. So I want you guys, after this podcast, I don't want you thinking of love as an emotion. It's a mindset. It's a way of being.
Right, a decision or a choice.
Yes. Okay? So that's what love is. And that's why the Bible says God is love. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've ever wondered, how can the Bible make that grandiose of a statement? It doesn't say God does love. It says God is love.
Right. And if you look at the context of the way we're describing love, love is not something wimpy.
Yeah.
Love is strong. Yeah. It's solid.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be broken.
And I guarantee when I asked you to define love and you defined it, you did not give me any word that had anything to do with a feeling. You gave me a behavior or an attitude or a belief, but you didn't give me a feeling. I guarantee. Okay. You didn't say butterflies or, you know, happy. Well, most people, I'm just saying. But just think about that. Love is an attitude. It's a way of being. The biggest piece of wisdom that I received regarding love and marriage is this. Try to take the feelings out of marriage. Okay? This is going to challenge some of y'all, but it's going to bless all of y'all. Try to take the feelings out of marriage. Don't fall in love. Grow in love. Mm. Tweet that. Okay? Tweet that today. Hashtag mend our marriage. Seriously. Don't fall in love, grow in love.
That's right.
Hashtag mend our marriage. You can do that on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Seriously, you have to get good at making love intentional.
Right.
It's a choice.
And if you think about it, falling in love indicates that it's something you don't have control over.
Yeah, accidental.
I mean, it's just something that, hey, you just fell into. It's something that, hey, it just happened.
It just happened.
But love being a decision or a choice is something you choose to grow in.
Yeah.
You choose to develop.
Yeah. So you can't no longer use the excuse that I use and say, I messed that one up. Okay. You can't use the excuse that I use when I was trying to get rid of my wife. or avoid her.
And that say, was a good that was a good way to describe it.
That was just adding some flavor to it. That was too true.
That was what was going on.
I use the excuse that we just fell out of love. Right? I don't love her no more. Mm-hmm. I remember waking up and sharing that with you. We just fell out of love. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is I was choosing not to love her. I was making the concerted choice to not love my wife. The goal is make love intentional. It's a choice. Okay? And so everybody knows the five love languages, so we won't belabor that point. But I want to say that this is where the five love languages come into play. Because if you know your spouse's love language, then you can intentionally fill their tank regardless of whether or not your tank is full. Mm-hmm. Your ability to love... Okay, so here's where I'm really going to be honest. Your ability to love your spouse has nothing to do with their ability to love you. Mm. I'm telling you. If that was the case, God would struggle to love us.
Right.
And he's demonstrating agape love. So his ability to love us has nothing to do with our choice or decision to love him. Okay? So your ability to love your spouse has nothing to do with them filling your love tank. Now, I respect Dr. Gary Chapman, and I appreciate what he's done for me and my level of knowledge. But as I've grown in this area, I figured it out that regardless of whether or not my wife is filling my love tank has nothing to do with my decision to love her. Mm-hmm. This is deep. This is a big pill to swallow for a lot of people, mm-hmm. because they a lot of people have to feel energized to love. I felt like I was preaching.
It does help, of course.
No, don't get me wrong.
Oh,
it helps.
I got you.
It gives you more fuel, you know, but it shouldn't determine whether or not you make the choice.
Right.
You make the choice outside of any other external variables. The choice comes from within, not from without, okay? So, and don't get me wrong, you need to speak your spouse's love language because that's the fuel, that's the motivation. That gives them something to look forward towards. But at the end of the day, whether or not your spouse gives it to you or not, that should not determine what choice you make about love.
Right.
Okay? But you should speak your spouse's love language. So there are five. Mandy, why don't you go over the five real fast?
Okay, so the five love languages are going to be physical touch, mm-hmm. acts of service, mm-hmm. words of affirmation.
Come on.
Gifts.
I couldn't have nothing creative to say. And what else? What was the last one?
Quality time.
So, I'm sorry. Words of affirmation, quality time, physical contact, gifts, and acts of service.
Correct.
All right. So, good. I'm sorry, y'all. I was acting goofy. So, you have to know your... Now, remember, we talked about learning your spouse mm-hmm. so that you can see the value of your spouse so that you can love them unconditionally. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand their love language. Mm-hmm. But it's not enough just to know their love language, right? Because my wife's love language is physical contact. Mm-hmm. One of our primary love languages mm-hmm. is physical contact. And if I was just one of those people to say, oh, I know physical contact, so I'm going to go and give her bear hugs and wrestle with her, which I would love to do, but that's not her dialect.
No.
That's not how she want to receive physical, physical contact. That's not how she wants
that's
to feel.
Not primarily.
Yeah, exactly. So I had to learn her specific dialect, right, of physical contact. It wasn't just bear hugs and body slams, which I would love to do, by the way. Give her a nice elbow. But it's not that. It's something more central. Mandy likes to have her scalp rubbed and her shoulders massaged, right? If I'm just holding mm-hmm. her hands and rubbing her skin, she likes that. Mm-hmm. She don't like when I come and I bear hug her. She don't like that. Or pat her on the back, whether, you know, it's...
I don't like the chest bump.
She don't like chest... And so I had to learn that. And so you have to make sure you know your spouse's dialect.
And not get offended if they try and explain that to you.
Yeah.
That's a part of learning your spouse.
Exactly. So just make sure you stay open and receptive. Okay? That's how you learn. So, you know what? We are over 30 minutes. And I didn't want to go too far over 30 minutes. But I'm just getting there. So we might wrap it up here. But I do want to say, talk with your spouse about their dialect, about how they like to receive love. Mm-hmm. And then your job, because you've already made the choice, when you said I do, you've made the choice to be unconditional. Your job is to give them love without conditions. Whether or not they're returning it or reciprocating it has nothing to do with your ability to give it.
Because
love is about giving all and sharing all.
Yes.
And if you can't do that, then you probably shouldn't have jumped into your marriage because you're going to do some damage. Mm-hmm. So get knowledge, get wisdom, please. That's the only way your marriage is going to succeed.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's do some action steps, because that's one of the things I want to start adding to our podcast, is something that you guys can do after the podcast. Put this stuff into practice. Okay. So you hear it, but now you got to do it. Mm-hmm. So I want you to do this over the course of the week. If you don't know this already, I want you to learn your spouse's love language. But let's take it a step further, and I want you to learn their specific dialect. For instance, remember, Mandy's love language is physical contact, but her dialect is not wrestling and bear hugs. Right. It's more sensual, soft, gentle touch. That's her dialect, okay? And so make sure you know the difference in your spouse, okay? And then I also want you to find an opportunity every single day this week, to speak your spouse's love language.
Right. And you don't have to go overboard.
Don't go overboard unless you want to. But just find an opportunity to do it, even if it's just once a day.
Right.
Just speak your spouse's love language in the dialect that they are accustomed to. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I forgot to say this, but most people are accustomed to speaking or giving love in the way that they like to receive it. Mm-hmm. Don't give your spouse love in the way that you want to receive it. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's selfish. Okay, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're giving them love in the way that they like to receive it.
Right.
Okay? So if your love language is words of affirmation and theirs is quality time, but you keep speaking words of affirmation to
and
your
they
spouse,
don't respond the they're way not going to.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get in your
You're going to be in your feelings. You're going to feel a certain type of way. So just remember, you got to speak their love language and their dialect.
Exactly.
Okay? And then lastly, focus on giving to your spouse and not receiving from your spouse this week. So
just imagine if all of us focus on giving and not receiving, nobody will ever go without.
Oh my gosh, that's deep. That's really deeper than it sounds like, but it's super deep. You know, that's that utopia, the ideal world. But so here's your three action steps for the week. Learn your spouse's love language and learn their dialect, the way they like to express it the most. Number two is find an opportunity every day this week to speak your spouse's love language. And then number three is focus on giving to your spouse and not receiving. Okay? Simple as that, right?
That's right.
All right, guys, we appreciate your time. We're up to over 35 minutes, so this is one of the longer shows. But thank you for your patience. And look, share this with someone who needs it, okay? Share this episode with your cousin down the street who's struggling or your uncle or your, you know, share it with somebody who needs it. Also, we need something from you guys, okay? Do y'all love us? Y'all got agape for us? if so, we need y'all to give us a rating and a review in iTunes. You see how I tied that together? I played the guilt trip on them a little.
Good job, babe.
You're welcome. Yes. But no, seriously, if we could get another 5 to 10 of y'all, just 5 to 10, we got thousands of people, or I know over 1,000 people listen to our shows, you know, every time we play them. So give me 5 or 10 of y'all to just submit an honest rating and review in iTunes. We love you for life. We really will. We appreciate that. So, but anyway, guys, share this. Message us. Email us. Come join us on the page. Ask us questions. You can still submit them. But we are done. Until next time. We out, y'all.
All right. Deuces.
Deuces.